The Intentional Living Podcast is brought to you by iBelieve.com and is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Intentional Living. I'm glad you're here with us today. Our focus will be on church on this Intentional Living podcast. My name is Christy Woods, and welcome to the table. Come sit down, my friend, and let's talk about church, shall we? For some, church is a good word. For others, it sends shivers down the spine. We have positives and we have, and we'll call them negatives, I guess, but even though that's not always a good word to use. But for my husband and I and our children, church has always been an extension of our family. As a military family, we moved often and weren't near our physical family, those who are our blood relatives. Even friends that we had grown up with over the years were at a distance. And so that church family became our family. And maybe you feel the same way. Maybe church has become a family to you, that God has used that vehicle so that the people that make up the church have become your family. Now, sometimes those are within the four walls of the building we call the church. Other times they're simply a part of the body that we call the church, aren't they? So my question to start today is, what does church mean to you? If you listed several descriptors, what would you put on that list? What is church? I remember one time back in Hawaii when we were stationed there. We had arrived on an island, and of course, one of the first ventures that we would go to as a family is to try to find our church home. Because with every move, it was as though the Lord just took a whole batch of people with us in our hearts, people that had come to us through church, we had found because of the body of Christ, that remained friends even though we were now miles apart. So it was really important with each move that we find a brand new body, a church to belong to. So we had hopped around and we had tried various churches, and it was hard. You know, it just wasn't coming together. We weren't finding the right fit that God had for us and us for it. Because, you know, being a part of the body of Christ is a two-way street. Not only do we receive, but he deposits within us so that we can in turn give back. So it's a two-way street, and we needed to find the right place. And so we set our ears and eyes and our mouths to prayer, our focus to God, looking to him to say, show us which church you would place us in. Well, we had hit the 8-month mark. We still had not found a church. Now, how many of you know that that's discouraging? That's discouraging. When you can't find home, you feel homeless. The church body, God has used that to help us feel at home while we're here on earth, hasn't he? So anyway, we had gone to a church, and I think my husband had to work that particular Sunday or something. He wasn't with me. So it was the kids and I had dropped them off at Children's Church, and I had gone into the sanctuary. And I recall it clearly. The pastor from the pulpit looked out and he said, "And if you're military, consider this your home." And you guys, I started to cry. The tears just started to flow because after 8 months of searching, we had finally found home. It resonated. My husband and I prayed. We believed that's where we were called to. And so we settled in to that church body. There's something about finding our family. Our church home isn't there, not only within the four walls, but within the body of Christ. So we have a few questions to cover today. Are you ready? Number one, why should we go to church? If a stranger came up to you on the street or even somebody within the church pews, they said, "Well, why do you come to church?" Why? What's the answer to that? There are reasons why we are called to be a part of the body of Christ in God's word. One of those is in Ephesians 4:11-13. Some of us call this the fivefold ministry, but basically it's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These five offices have been set into motion by God. They were ordained by him for the maturing and the building up of the body of believers. We need to be in spaces and places where we are surrounded by those people. It's for our maturity's sake. It's a good thing. We need to be where those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are. Number two, this is probably one that you hear all the time, but it's in Hebrews 10:25, and he says, not to forsake the gathering of the brethren. Don't forsake coming together. Think about it when I think about here in Oklahoma where we live. Often calves can be to keep it so that nobody gets kind of grossed out here on the podcast, but calves can be something that coyotes look for. And if they're off alone, they become prey much easier. It's the same with us in our walk with Christ. When we go off, that's why Jesus goes after just the one, because just the one is that important. So it is important for us to stay together as the body of Christ, because not only is it for what we receive, but remember, it's for what we also give, because each of us has been given gifts by God, and those are useful for others in the body of Christ, right? You are important. Paul's conversations in Revelations 2 and 3, if you have a chance, grab your Bibles and dig into that section. It's rich. There's a lot in Revelation 2 and 3 that goes over the different churches. And there are reasons why, like in Ephesus, they forsake their first love. And so there was a call for repentance, or else there would be destruction or judgment placed on them. And each church had something that God was calling their attention to. Every church body is different. If you go inside the church, as in the four walls, the body that meets within those four walls, you will find differences. Some have strengths in some areas, and others have strengths in other areas, just like people. And they might have weaknesses here, while this church over down the street doesn't have that same weakness. So remember, though, that they're coming together for a purpose. We've already talked about Matthew 18:12, where Jesus goes after the one. But take a look, read the whole verse, everything in context, dig into the meaning behind the words and stuff, and just see exactly how important just one is to Jesus. And can you imagine what we can do together to help reach more, one here, one there, to be the body of Christ reaching out to a lost world? So those are some reasons why we should go to church. Remember, it's a two-way street. Not only do we receive, but we have a chance to give. There's types of churches, right? So when we're searching for churches, that's something to keep in mind, because different people have different preferences and they have different beliefs. It's important that we dig into those. You know, there's the regular mainline denominations that many of us are familiar with. There are also non-denominational churches, if I can get that word out. It's a tongue twister today. We might also want to research their doctrines and maybe go a couple of times to get the personality and flavor of the church, right? That was some advice that one of my spiritual mentors gave me. She said, always go twice, because the first time something could be different, that they don't typically have a service that goes that way, or maybe some of the people are there or missing that normally would be. So go and find the personality of that church. Also, make sure you pray. That's probably the most important part of it. If we pray before we go and ask for guidance, when we ask for wisdom, God gives it, and he gives it generously, even when it comes down to deciding on which church to go to. I firmly believe it. I firmly believe it, because we've had God answer that multiple times. So how do we find churches? If we're going to be intentional about going to church, or maybe going back to church, then how do we go about finding a church? How'd you find yours? Have you ever been in one? Think about the way or ways that you found that church or churches. We talked about visiting twice. That's one of the things that my husband and I make sure we do. And we don't do with all of them, because sometimes you know right away, this is probably not going to be the best fit for us. But other times you may be on the fence. And so going back that second time is a really good idea. Go to their website. We live in a fabulous age, don't we, of technology where it's all at our fingertips. So we can dig right in and we can look at the website. We can kind of get introduced, so to speak, to the pastors and the people who are on staff there. We can find directions, locations, service hours, service times, all of that on websites typically. Also on their websites, as well as like Facebook Live, we may find their sermons. I know my church broadcast every Sunday, both on the website and Facebook Live. It's great. So if we're not there, we can always connect it and watch it and still be a part of things. It's a great way to research a church to go ahead and sit through one of the sermons from home. Maybe you haven't moved yet and you want to kind of check out some of these churches before you go. That might be a really great option. Or maybe you're on the road to going where you're going to land eventually. Another great option. We talked about praying earlier. It's the same. Just ask God for that wisdom. He gives it. He's faithful. Try to get to know some of the folks there at the church. That's another way to make a good decision. Sometimes you can get to know people from outside activities and ask for recommendations. Once you trust them as a person that you're like, okay, this is my kind of people, start asking around. Start asking where they go, why they go there. You might find a church that way. Also, don't be afraid to ask your children how they felt about children's church or the nursery if they go with you. Now, sometimes, because kids sometimes vary in their decisions from day to day, I'm only saying this because of our own experience. Your kids may make a decision and stick with it, but sometimes mine decided to kind of change decisions, or they went through phases where they just didn't like things or certain things. You know, so sometimes you have to kind of handle that one gently, but it's always a good idea to gather their input because this will become their home as well. All right. So hopefully by now you have found a church, or you're ready to, right? Being intentional in churches, another part of that, another layer, is volunteering or getting involved. So where are you involved in your church? Do you go and help on Saturday nights if you have a Saturday night service, or Sundays if you go Sundays? Do you help on Wednesday night services? Or maybe you're a nursery worker. Maybe you work out in the parking lot directing traffic, or at the welcome table. Maybe you're behind the scenes helping to pick weeds and clean bathrooms. Maybe you go in and you help from time to time as needed with different funerals if they need help serving food, or weddings or special events, that sort of thing. What are the opportunities that are at your church? Sometimes we simply need to ask that question, how can I help? Guaranteed they will put you to work because what are the statistics? There's something like really small, like only 10 or 15% of those attending church actually dive in and really get involved and help volunteer. I may be dangerous with that statistic, but I'm pretty sure that's what I've heard. It's a small amount of people, but sometimes, often, when we step out and we help to serve at church by volunteering, that's ministry in action. And we find ourselves getting involved and getting to know people better. But it's not only about us, but it's about us being able to then also give back. That helps our pastors and those who are leading our churches to take responsibilities off their shoulders, to help make their jobs more of a joy when we're there serving alongside them. And you never know whose life you might impact and change because of simple thing like service. Now, if you have time constraints or boundaries and you're afraid that they're just going to suck you dry when it comes to time and everything, that's understandable and that's okay. Set what you're available, your times that you're available, let them know right up front that, hey, I would love to volunteer. I can only do it once a month though. I can volunteer once a quarter, or I can volunteer every second and fourth Sunday. Something is better than nothing. And it definitely allows us to step into those places then where we can serve and reach out to others. There's a wonderful Bible study tools article It's called Bible Verses About Volunteering. I mean, it's really not an article. I guess it's more of a listing of Bible verses. But if you're curious about why we should include volunteering in our daily life, go and look at those Bible verses about volunteering and see how they resonate with you. You never know, right? And sometimes it's not an every Sunday thing. Maybe it's going on the mission trips. Maybe it's reaching out to the widows or to the parentless child that lives down the way from where you are. You know, there may be outside ways that you're ministering as well. One of the best times my family and I had was volunteering at the Red Cross. We would go one Sunday a month. We would go in the mornings, so we would not attend church that particular Sunday. But man, did we attend church. It was awesome. My kids grew to love that Sunday. Now that program has closed down, and so we're no longer able to do that. But man, we loved it. We went and stood in the service line and put food on plates, or were at the drink counter, so we helped with the drinks. We cleaned up, we set up. And also, what I found was that my kids ended up interacting with many of the people who came through that line in the morning. And in fact, my one son, my oldest son, he developed this relationship with this young adult. And he's more than young adult because he had a young adult child. So, but he looked really young for his age. He's probably 40s would be my guess, but with this man, and they created a bond. And as a parent, that was the neatest thing to watch. My kids were sad when we were no longer able to be a part of that ministry because they weren't doing that particular Sunday morning breakfast any longer. But while it lasted, it was wonderful and it was life changing. So we went there to serve, but you know what? We got changed by being there. It was great. So I highly recommend it. It doesn't have to be a monthly commitment like ours. It doesn't have to be a big commitment. Ours was about 3 hours, 4 hours. And we got up really, really early on a Sunday, which, you know, when you ask teenagers to do that, that's a big deal. We were out the door by like 5:15 in the morning. So it was really early. But my kids did it willingly. A little sleepy, I'll be honest. All of us were a little sleepy, but we all went and we all enjoyed it. So think about those volunteering opportunities. But let's take a little journey to the side here just a minute. And let's talk about, what if there's fighting within the church walls? What if your body of believers is beginning to come to odds with each other? We had this happen at one of the churches my husband and I attended. We were new Christians, brand new Christians. And there was a disagreement between some that were in leadership. And there was a meeting that was called one particular Sunday afternoon. At this point, I didn't even know what was in the Bible. And I don't even know why I picked up my Bible that afternoon. I'll be very honest with you, but I did. And I'm so grateful that I did, because the pages just kind of flipped open. This is one of the only times this has ever happened to me. But the pages just kind of flipped open and they went to 1 Corinthians 3, where it talks about, I follow Apollos, and some people say I follow Paul, and they had their eyes fixed on man and who they were following. And gosh, this is so easy that we can say, well, we're following the pastor and we're following this. But the crux of that passage, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9, is we don't follow Apollos. We may. We don't really follow Paul, but we may. But ultimately, it's God who makes that seed grow. It's not that pastor at that church. It's not that worship team. It's not the music. It's not whatever. It's God. Remember this, even when there's dissension among the church, which I hope there isn't, because we really should come together in unity, as the word says. But sometimes it happens. That's reality. So we should discuss how to handle it, right? Instead of putting our heads in the sand and ignoring it. Communication is key. Conversation is key. We're all human. Often there are misunderstandings. With communication, we have an opportunity to work through it. There's also sin, even within the church walls, because we're human and we're not in heaven yet. So it will happen. We need to remember that. Now, it's not to say that we don't hold people accountable when they're doing something illegal or something that's just absolutely not right. There's a sin there that needs to be addressed, then we address it. And if that means bringing in the authorities, then we bring in the authorities as well. So definitely we don't want to put all of that under the rug. But there will be some situations that are just simple misunderstandings. There will be some that we need to search our own hearts and say, God, show me my own heart in this, that we follow God, not the crowd that's starting to chant the frustrating words and the grumbling and the complaining or whatever, but that we just look to Him and say, okay, show me how to walk through this. We pray, we consult the Bible. You know, in my case, it kind of just took me there, but sometimes we have to study it to know where we should go, but not be afraid to do that when situations like this arise. And goodness, staying level-headed definitely helps us. They're not personal attacks. Don't make them personal attacks. And even if they are personal attacks, refuse to be offended. Be honest. Be committed to holding honest conversations. Try to do that without all of the emotion, but rather just with facts and with an eye on the prize of heaven of saying, okay, how can we come together? Refuse to dishonor others with slander, with bitterness, or with gossipy talk. To stick with Jesus, with eyes on Him. And when there's fighting within the walls of the church, God will see us through. It may not be easy. Like when I went through all of that, I sat at a meeting, that meeting after I learned those scriptures, and I had a man banging on the table in anger, a rather large man. And I had not grown up that way. And so it was very intimidating to me to have somebody being very physical and in a church meeting. But the Lord had prepared me, and He will prepare each of us for these different situations that come up. All right. So just be encouraged, you guys. It's okay. Be encouraged. But what if we don't want to go to church? You know, what if we experienced pain? Somebody didn't like our ministry and kind of pulled the rug out from under us, or maybe we disagreed with somebody to the point that we just walked away. We're wise to ask the question and to set ourselves right in front of the Lord and say, okay, show me my heart in this. Because, you know, sometimes we react on emotions versus on the truth of God and the direction of Him. It happens. So don't beat yourself up if this is you. I've done it, and I'm sure most all of us have at some point. But the great part is that we can grow and that we can learn from it. So my kids, if they come to me and they say, I don't want to go to church, I encourage them to go anyway. Not to check off the list and be a good girl or good boy, but often because that's spiritual warfare. Often there'll be something that particular Sunday that you are going to receive or be able to serve and give others. There might be a huge takeaway that will be instrumental in your growth down the road or somebody else's. So I encourage them to go anyway. Now, not to say you can't take a break at some point. You have to make this decision for yourself, okay? But this is what happens in our house. We take a break every once in a while, but we make sure that it doesn't become a habit. And try not to go 2 weeks in a row without not going. Because sometimes then that can create where we just get in this swirl of not going, and then we're that one that's gone out by themselves. Going to church is a great way to check on others in a loving way. That sounded a little funny, didn't it? But in a loving way, so that we can say, hey, you okay? Everything doing all right? And for those who aren't at church, it gives us the opportunity to check on them. There'll be times and days when you're going to receive great insight and encouragement and offer it to others, like I already mentioned. And the great part is God gives us the freedom to choose. I think that's a great thing. He wants us to draw close to Him. And often that can mean in the middle of a worship service in church. But He's not going to force us. He's a loving God. He is a faithful Father. Remember that this is a love story. It's not a list for do-gooders. God desires and has established the church so that we can be matured and that we can grow up so that service can occur. So as we leave this Intentional Living podcast, let's have some action steps, shall we? It's always good. Number one, we can pray for our pastors. That's a great action step. Number two, find a church to attend this weekend or return to one from the past if we walked away. Number three, research or commit to volunteer. Or number four, why don't you reach out and just invite a friend to church this weekend? I hope, my friend, that you're intentional with church, that it is seen as an opportunity to worship and serve God, and that you find a body of believers that lifts up the name of one, Jesus. I'm Christy Woods. Thank you for joining me here on Intentional Living. I'm so excited that you did. Have a great week, friends.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Intentional Living, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Christy Woods or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, christywoods.net, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.